Well, everybody, welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joey and Gosa TV on this beautiful Tuesday, almost noon, August 25th, 2020. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this beautiful episode, talking today about how to never give up when you fail or when you face defeat. I've been listening to a podcast by my friend, as I've been saying, Cliff Ravenscraft. You may want to check him out online. And I've been learning a lot from him, as well as different books and resources that I've been reading, on how to not give up when you experience defeat. It seems like most people, from what I was reading and listening, that what they do is that when they face a trial or a failure or a defeat in their lives, they normally give up and they don't persevere. They may start a fitness plan. They may have a business that they started. They may have a desire to really love their kids or to just do some self-care, fix some things in their own lives. But when the going gets tough, as they say, the tough quit. And you may have experienced things like this. And you may be in a place right now where you are battling your own inner demons, your own inner critic. You tell yourself, well, after all that I've been through, what's the point? I'm always going to make the same mistakes. And you have what some people call ungodly beliefs, these beliefs that enter our minds that tell us the opposite of what's true. So I'll name a few lies that maybe you have believed before, or you're believing even now. One is, I will never be financially stable again. So you have this negative belief about finances. Second, I will never be happy. And that may deal with relationships or with your own inner peace. Third one is, I am a screw up. I always make the same mistakes. That's a powerful one. Perhaps it could be one that says, I will never find the man or the woman of my dreams. And you name it, right? There are so many. I will always be overweight. I will never have friends that really love me and that really know me. So you have all of these extremes, right? We face these battles inside. So what do we do? Well, obviously the first thing is to tell yourself the truth. And this is the hardest thing, is to actually fill your mind with the truth of God, with the truth about your situation. I was listening to, again, this podcast, and he was saying that when we evaluate our lives on success or failure, we're damaging our minds and damaging ourselves. Instead, what he recommends is to look at everything as results. So let's say you started a weight loss program and you wanted to not eat sugar. But then as the days went by because of this and that, you find yourself maybe a few pounds overweight. And so you tell yourself, I'm a failure. Instead, what I've been learning is to instead say, okay, the results are not what I expected. So therefore, I have to adjust my plan. So once again, okay, these results are not what I want. I don't want these results. So instead, I need to adjust my plan. And see, that's a very powerful and very different way to look at your results in fitness or in your educational goals or your desire to be free from a certain pattern in your life, is taking action versus being a victim. The victim says, I am a failure, or it's someone else's fault. It's your fault. You blame your husband, you blame your kids, you blame your job, your boss, your son, your daughter. But what successful people do is they say, okay, these are not the results that I want, and so how can I adjust my plan? And so in my life, I've experienced many defeats, temporary defeats, or what the Bible calls temporary trials, right? Isn't that amazing? The Bible doesn't call it failure or even defeats, trials. And I love how he says temporary trials. For these temporary trials, he says, are causing in us an eternal glory, a maturity. And what is maturity? Is the ability to refocus, to not do the same thing over and over again. They say that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And I must say, you maybe can relate to this. I have done that many times where I keep beating my head against the wall, expecting the wall to move. Instead, I'm the one bleeding. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Ghost of Bella right there. And so instead, you have to say, okay, these are not the results I want or expected. I'm not going to blame. I'm not going to hate myself. Instead, I'm going to change my plan. So what is your plan? So fitness being an easy one. Okay, so maybe the just white knuckling thing isn't working for me. Just don't eat that donut. Instead, I'm going to, let's say this happens to me. Let's say that zone, that danger zone for you is 9 to 11 p.m. So maybe your habit, your plan that needs to change is you go out for a walk at 9 p.m. And maybe that's not realistic. But perhaps you go to the backyard. Or you get in your car and you go for a drive, not to the donut store, but you go for a drive and you listen to worship music. You see what I'm saying? Is you change your plan instead of just hoping that your same plan eventually works. So if your goal is to be free from emotional pain caused by this relationship that you're in that you can't seem to get away from. Well, successful people, they don't do the same thing. They change their plans. They don't see things as failure or success. So instead, what you could do is say, okay, here comes that text again. I'm going to just simply delete my number or change my number or block that person. Now, if they begin to go through here and Snapchat and DMs here and, you know, so then you change your number. And instead of saying, well, that's going to be a mess and complicated, you stay focused and you say, no, I need to change my number. I need to move. I mean, these are radical steps, right? But my point is you take action to change your plan. You have to move out of the state, city, country, maybe. I know it sounds crazy, but you have to wake up to that level so that you can actually see different results. You talk to friends, another way to be more mindful to have success is to talk to people that can help you. To have a friend who maybe you give them permission to say, you know, what should I do here? Should I leave this job? A lot of people are unhappy with their jobs. And they don't see any other choice. Well, you know, I have to make money and I have to pay the bills. And of course, all these things are true. But you know that this is not happening for you. You're not happy there. You know that it's causing you stress and you can't sleep at night and you're making the same amount of money. It's just not working. But you're still going there because you have this pressure to make money and to pay the bills. Okay. Well, if you maybe talk to someone, that person who's an outsider can say, you know, I have a friend who owns a company that's starting and they're looking for someone just like you. And it's closer to your house and it's more convenient. It actually fits your skill set even better than what I see here. And boom, there's an open door. Now, how did that come about? Yes, of course, God is always there and his angels, but you have to be open to people giving you input. You have to talk to someone that you trust and say, you know, I don't really like my job. Can you give me some ideas? Now, don't talk to someone who has no clue of who you are or even your skills. And sometimes our parents even are the right people, aren't, because they will say, oh, I love you, which of course is the most important thing. But maybe talk to a job skills coach for free. There are many people online. Watch a video on YouTube that can help you along that kind of journey of skills and what else can you do. The point is to, as I said, to not see things as failure or success. Now, I know this is easier said than done. It happens to me. I can tell you so many defeats, or what I considered failures, professionally or in things that I wanted to accomplish or whatever it may be. And I remember this one friend, speaking of mentors, I was really down and I thought, I'm going to just stop this. This is not working. And it really wasn't working. And I remember sitting with my friend and she said, well, Trig, if you quit, you'll never see your dreams come true. You have to stick this out. And I must say, I must confess that I had really never heard that in all my years. I had experienced that same kind of, I want to just leave, many times before. But it wasn't until I let my friend into my life. We had this ongoing meeting every week where we just talked about life and church and ministry and a mentorship relationship, that she was able to say to me, you need to stick this out. It wasn't even like, think about this. Of course, it was my decision, but it changed my plan. It wasn't like, oh, this is not working, or blaming, or I'm such a terrible person. Instead, it was more like, huh, maybe I need to persevere. And I did. And it was a wonderful decision. And so sometimes you need that outside perspective. Someone that can help you persevere in whatever you're trying to accomplish. And now, what happens once you persevere and you say, well, I've been persevering and still nothing? Then you have to go back to love. You have to go back to what some people call passion or talent or skill or calling or purpose, whatever you want to call it. You once you are persevering and you're still not seeing the success or the results that you want, financially or whatever it may be, this is where now passion sets in. Now you're going to be tested. Is this really who you are? Do you really love your work or the people that you're with, or the passion or the idea, the dream that you have? Do you really want to be set free? Do you really want to lose weight? Do you really want to finish your schooling? Do you really want to repair that relationship with your son or with your ex-husband or with your daughter? It tests your resolve, and this is very important. It's necessary. Again, the Bible says that he who began a good work will complete it, that we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, then we have to finish the race. So you have all of these pictures in the Bible of movement, of action. James, of course, says that faith without works is dead. You have to put feet to the metal. You have to put your nose to the grindstone. You have to persevere. And the only way that you will persevere is if you love what you do, if you love what you're doing, if you love the cause, if you love those people, if you love that relationship. If you have no love, then what does the Bible say? Then you're a resounding cymbal. You're just noisy. You are just noise. You're creating noise for you, for other people, for everyone around you. And I think we've all been noisy, right? We've all been that noisy, squeaky wheel that's just annoying, because you're not where you're supposed to be. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be in that relationship. And you're victimizing everyone, and everyone's trying to help you. But really, it's your choice to say, this is not working. I need to get out of this relationship. I need to change something in my life. I need to eat better. I need to hire a coach. I need to find a new job. I need to get the help that I need. Now, everything obviously is a process. None of us can just simply get up and leave or lose weight overnight or stop smoking or drinking or finally just have no anxiety in your body. Things take time. But you have to get on a path towards deliverance, towards spiritual authority, towards spiritual wellness, physical, mental, spiritual wellness, where you are on a journey with other people to find the kind of peace that you need. And these are the things that I'm committing to. Not only have I done it, and I still seek coaches every month. Actually, every 2 weeks, I speak to a coach online, and we get on a call, and we talk about everything, personal, professionally, goals that I have. And he is further ahead than me in a lot of these areas. And so that's how I stay focused on coming on here, on accomplishing the things that I'm accomplishing. So you, imagine you trying to do it on your own. Now, a lot of people say, well, I have the Lord, of course. Prayer, worship, Bible study. But remember that we are social beings. Even this year, even in 2020, we have to find social ways. It's also good to just laugh. I mean, that's why I have my my Gozo hat, right? You know, that's why I wear the silly hat, and I have my Gozo mugs back there. And I talk about Gozo. Gozo, of course, means joy in Spanish. Why? Because when you are in relationship with other people, then they make you laugh, or you think, okay, I can do this. If that person can do it, then I can do it too. You don't want to be comparing yourself to anyone or putting other people down, but you want to be in relationship with people. And most of all, to find that common ground, to find that support. That's why I love, even though I, by the grace of God, I don't have an addiction, but meaning the typical ones, AA, I think, is such a beautiful thing. CR, Celebrate Recovery. All those plans or systems, I think, are so powerful. And really, it's what every person should be in. Whether it's coaching, whether it's therapy, whether it's not just your typical Bible study. I love Bible studies, of course. I'm in a few. I love them. I lead some of them. But coaching, as they call it, masterminds, as the business world calls them. I love the idea of a mastermind because is you have this group of people that together become more intelligent or better than just one person. There's a common wisdom or a communal wisdom that is in the group. And those masterminds, or I don't know what you want to call them, adult learning groups in my program, we learn about ADLs, adult development programs. I forget ADLs, ALDs. I forget all these awesome terms. My point is think tanks or places where you're actually growing in the thing that you need. Like a student who wants to learn how to play the violin. Imagine them going to a Bible study. If what you need is to learn how to play the violin, a Bible study is not going to help you, right? It can give you perspective, peace, can give you hope, of course. It can even give you relationships, but it won't help you learn the violin. You have to go to a class or a teacher or a school or online where you can learn how to play the violin. The same goes with spiritual darkness or addictions or fear or shame or anger or eating issues or body image problems or issues with your parents. And I'm not a therapist, so I'm not offering therapy. I'm not a therapist. But what I do is I coach people through groups, through masterminds, sometimes one-on-one, sometimes couples, sometimes through email, through FaceTime groups. Depends on the person. And I'm just one of many. And my point is to encourage you that in order for you to not give up, you have to find that violin class, that right place that can actually teach you. Now, people say, well, I don't know where to find those. Well, that's where prayer does come in. And also, you have to research. You can go online and say, violin classes near my house. And right now they're all on Zoom, but guess what? You have a lot of time, right? I mean, you're home, maybe you're unemployed, you have a check coming in, it's not ideal, but you have time. You have the internet, right? Your phone works. You have to just simply take your phone, flip it on its side, and there you are. Free violin classes on YouTube, right? And that's just one example. My point is that you can find the resources that you need now more than ever. This is a year of preparation. You know, the Lord gave me a vision about maybe 3 years ago. I was going up to the mountains to pray, and I was just saying, Lord, I need your guidance. I don't know exactly which way to go. And so I was expecting to be up there for 3-4 days, and maybe on the last night there would be some revelation. Instead, it happened on the 91 freeway, stuck in traffic on the way up to the mountains. God didn't even wait. It began, and then I got to my room and the full thing was revealed. I wrote it down. This is maybe 4 years ago. And basically the revelation was that this year would be a year, the beginning of the fruitfulness in my life and in the lives of many. That this year, 2020, would be the year, first of 3 years of plenty. Now, of course, I have to admit, at times I thought, wow, was I wrong? Or it must have been those tacos that I ate, because this plenty? I mean, this is like the worst year of my life, right? But I get it now. This truly is the beginning of plenty because of these connections. Now, I only have one person here online. We should have 1,000 people here. I don't know why. It doesn't really bother me. My point is that this opportunity to be connecting with one person, it's just one person. I have a little counter here. 7 platforms, only one person. You know, it's not that I'm so horrible. It's just that there's so much content out there and people are so distracted. And the devil is working so hard to destroy and to distract young and old away from things that can help him towards drinking or being on Facebook chismeando or politics. My goodness, the devil's number one tool, politics, violence, hate. Materialism will come back, don't worry. But right now, that's taking a back seat, right? But right now, it's definitely violence, hate, addictions. And so, but the message that God gave me has to continue to be put out there. And you can help me by sharing this broadcast. Wherever you're watching this, that one person out there, maybe you're watching this on the replay, we'll have 2-3 people. We have to be that tribe of people that are going to live differently. Not to go and do a bunch of stuff, not yet, but to heal, to have that peace in your heart, to have that sense of joy and laughter inside of you, and to begin to heal. First of all, let me fix my beautiful hair here. Go so hat. And to heal so that we can be those world changers. And this is the first of 3 years of plenty. God gave me that vision, and I believe it. That's why I named this year, at the beginning of the year, before I even knew, obviously, about all this stuff, every year I have a name that God gives me for each year. And this one, this year, God gave me the phrase from the song, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Obviously, 2020, you know, vision, eyes. But I didn't feel God saying, look at the amazing riches or success or beautiful body or whatever it is. He wasn't saying, oh, look at what I gave you. He was saying, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, like the song. Meaning there was something that was blind inside of us, inside of me, inside of many people. And guess what? Of course, we were blind. And many people are still blind to what God is really trying to do. And so those people are the ones, those million people on those horrible Facebook groups that think that a president is the angel of light, that are against racial reconciliation and all these things. A lot of Christians are falling for these traps. Or maybe they're going into astrology or spirituality or the law of attraction, or just buying their ways, you know, buying their problems away, shopping and eating and not exercising. And those are the ways of the enemy. That's the wide road that leads to destruction. But the narrow path are those, you and me, the one person out there, who have had our eyes opened. Not by our own choice, right? Gospel 2020. But through all this crisis, this opportunity, as I call it, our eyes are being forced. You know, like when you can't wake up, you haven't slept long. You're like, oh, you put little toothpicks in your eyes. That's what this year has been like. Oh my goodness, Lord, really? Do I really want to see the emptiness in my heart, my lack of faith, the materialism in my heart, the violence? And guess what? Why don't we have 1,000 people here? Because those 999 people are walking blindly into the politics of the day, into the addictions. But you and I, we have to have our eyes wide open, because this is the first year. Now, how is this year a year of plenty? Is by getting into these groups where your eyes are being open to the issues in your heart, and then find healing so that you can then, as I say, you know, hurt people, but healed people, heal people. As Henry Nouwen said, you can be a wounded healer of other people, but you can't heal someone unless you have been healed yourself. And you can't heal yourself unless you are aware and your eyes have been open to the illness of your heart, your soul, your spirit. And that's a beautiful, messy, difficult process. And that's what 2020 is about. And that's why it is the first year of plenty. I've been online for 15 years. Can you believe it? And I have one person out there. It's fine. It's okay. But in those 15 years, I haven't felt connection with people as much as I feel now. Not in this stream, you know, I thank God for the one person. But my point is, you never know what one thing, what one word or thought or song or something that someone else says that will turn people's hearts and minds towards Jesus. And that's why I'm here every day, 2-3 times a day, streaming maybe, I don't know, 10 hours a week, not including Sundays. Why? Because everyone is here. No one watches this show, but it's okay, because I know that if anything, I am practicing my own belief. I am not giving up, just like I was preaching to you. I'm practicing what I preach. And I don't mean not giving up on live streaming. I mean not giving up on what I know is true, that God is going to bless us, that this is the first year of 3 years of plenty. In what area? I do not know what God has promised you. I know what He has told me. For me, I can tell you, it's not a big secret, is in impact. Impact, I don't know about online. I may never be an online personality, even though my looks, of course, are pretty amazing. Go so loco. But in real life. So I've had many prophecies. I'll tell you one just to encourage you. Maybe you have had prophecies, things that encourage us to never give up. 8, 9 years ago, 10 years ago, I was playing the piano in the lobby of this church, and I was pretty discouraged. I thought, man, I don't know if God is ever going to use me again. And this lady, this prophet, was with her daughter in the lobby, and she was just walking through. I think she was picking up her girl from the school next door. She listened to me singing, and she felt the anointing of God. She knelt and began to cry. I thought, man, am I that bad? She began to cry, and she held her daughter, who was maybe 3, little ponytails, I remember. Even though I was also crying, I could see her out of the corner of my eye, kneeling maybe like 100 feet away. It's a big lobby. I thought, wow. I kept singing. I remember I was singing Sweet Mercies Fall from Heaven. And I remember feeling in my little mind's eye that I was singing in front of millions, even though I was so discouraged. At the end of my singing, she came over and she gave me the word, a word from the Lord. She said, you're going to sing in front of millions and impact thousands of people. It hasn't happened yet, but I still believe it. I thought, okay, maybe online. No, I have one person. But guess what? Last 2 weeks ago, as you know, I sing all the time and I speak and I train, all this stuff. 2 weeks ago, I don't know what happened exactly. I had a friend who began to encourage me with my music, and I've written hundreds of songs that I've never published. I remember he came over to my house one day and he said, wow, you should really sing more. He was touched. And I kind of like, I don't know. I have so many things going. And I've always known, of course, that God has given me something unique and beautiful through my voice that comes from God. Anyway, so finally I said, okay, I don't know exactly what happened, but the Holy Spirit, Friday night, 2 weeks ago, we opened the front of the church, just the steps. You can see the picture on my Instagram at David Trigg. And we're doing construction, so the inside of the church is a mess with all the social distancing. I didn't want a crowd. I mean, come on. I wasn't even expecting one person. I thought, well, the cops will probably shut us down. I brought two speakers, pretty loud and big, microphones, and just my guitar. My friend also was there. And I began to sing. And it was loud. I was afraid. Not afraid. I thought, okay, well, I hope that's not a cop car. And because we have this parking lot in front of us that has a block wall, it was just reverberating, the music and my singing and my guitar. There was one of our church members who didn't know about it. I didn't publicize this. That's how I am. I just do things and see what happens, right? If you would like to help me publicize things, please let me know. Leave me a comment below. Maybe that's why that one person here is here. And so, by the way, share this broadcast with your friends. Invite your followers. So this one girl from our church, young mom, she said she was outside of her apartment when I began to sing. It was maybe like 8 o'clock at night because, you know, it was super hot and it was loud, as I said. And she thought her neighbor's TV was on. She kept listening. She's like, wait, that sounds like Trig. I don't know if she got into her car. She grabbed her daughter and ran. And that's them. It's David. He's singing. Then a couple cars went by and some of them were kind of driving slowly, kind of listening. A couple of people took pictures. Another lady with 3-4 kids, also from our church, again, didn't know what was happening. She's like, oh, that's my church. They began to worship. A lady I've never met and her husband drove by, heard the music, heard the singing, turned around and sat in their car, social distancing, blah, blah, blah. Listening, kind of like, you know, drive-in church, as some people do. Listen, we sang for like an hour and a half. And as I began to feel the presence of God, I began to minister salvation, healing, freedom from demonic oppression, freedom for our city. There was a group of about maybe 10 people, a family across the street in these apartments that were having like a little get-together, a little carne asada, yum, yum, gozo carne. I thought they were going to all just like run inside, right? Or just leave. They stuck around listening to the word of God, to these songs, to my voice, to the Holy Spirit's voice. And we had maybe, I don't know, 10, 20 people just all in cars and all socially distancing. And when we do it again, we'll have everyone wear masks, you know, just because it wasn't even a planned thing. I just thought we'll just talk, or I mean, sing a few songs. And the church is a mess. It's being remodeled. It'll be beautiful in a few months. But right now, you know, it's a bunch of wires and dirt everywhere. It didn't matter. No lyrics, no nothing. It wasn't church. This is not church. This is just, you could call it an outreach. Really, it's just blessing the city, blessing our neighbors. Our church is literally called Neighborhood Church. And so guess what I was doing? Blessing my neighbors, whoever they may be, in Espanol, in Ingles. I wish I spoke Tagalog, or I wish I spoke Mandarin. We have people that are from the Philippines, from Korea. I wish I spoke Korean. So anyway, but in Spanish and English, we sang for an hour and a half. And then at the end, another car, another lady that also was in her car listening, she couldn't start her car. And so my friend went over and helped her start her car. It didn't start, but he was with her for 30 minutes, helping her in her moments of need. So we were even ministering to the people in need with her car. And who knows what other things may have happened. Last week I planted another church, another blessing. God was just releasing. We had 100 people at this event. It wasn't my church. It was another church that I partner with once a month. We went out there, my beautiful son and I, and my friend Joel. The three of us, we have this amazing band, and I sing and I play also along with Joel. David plays drums. I play bass and sing. We had 100 people all outside, social distancing with masks, two screens, live streaming the night, on a Friday night also, in Orange County, Costa Mesa. I went outside during the message, and I thought, wow, this is... So next week, I don't know if this Friday, but maybe next week, we're going to be there this Friday, so I invite you to come out. All the info is in the bottom of this video. Come out. I don't know if it's going to be online yet because we don't have any gear, as I said, at the church at this moment. We're remodeling. But we're going to be there this Friday, so you can drive by perhaps if you'd like. Maybe I can put a phone on a tripod and live stream it, but it sounds pretty bad when you're just going through the phone. I like to have beautiful sound. And anyway, so but maybe not this week, but maybe next Friday, we'll just see what the Holy Spirit does, first of all. And maybe add two screens, like those 72-inch TVs. So if you have one you'd like to donate, please donate now. Or if you want to just donate a couple hundred bucks, we can just go buy one at Costco for $200-$300. We want to buy two of them, put them on stands, and just have these two huge screen TVs so that that parking lot can be packed with cars. Socially distanced. Maybe even some of those tents. You know, I actually bought a tent. You know how like restaurants are meeting outside now and doing their business? Well, we're doing God's business. And so I bought a little Easy Up. And maybe we'll put a few tables and, you know, just have mass and do it all legally, correctly, so that we don't get shut down and we don't spread any craziness except the love of God. And it may be two people, it may be five. People may just be driving by. I'm not expecting anything except to be obedient to my calling. And so full circle here, imagine if I had given up years ago and said, I don't want to sing anymore. I don't want to serve God anymore. Imagine if I hadn't had that prophecy when I was playing the piano, or if I had just ignored it. Imagine if I had another prophecy, maybe like 3 years after that. Same thing was said to me. Imagine if I just ignored, or I wouldn't be in relationship or in situations to hear the word of God. You can't hear prophecies unless you put yourself in prophetic environments. This is a prophetic environment. I'm not practicing that right now, but God does speak through men of God, people of God. And so you have to put yourself in those situations. We have one person here. Imagine if we had 1,000. 1,000 people could be set free right now. And I'm not ministering. I'm just sharing some thoughts and ideas. But at night, I do healing and deliverance. I teach people how to speak in tongues, if you want that, how to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how to walk in the Spirit, how to be saved, of course. If you are not a child of God, if you're religious but not really saved, then we, of course, present the gospel, and that's in the evenings. But my point is, this is the importance of not giving up. You have a calling upon your life. You are an intelligent woman. You are a powerful man. The one person out there, maybe you're my friend. I probably know you. Maybe it's my mom. Hola, mom. You have a calling upon your life. I'm here to fan into flame the gift that is in you. That's 1 Timothy 1. To make you into a minister of the good news. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you, for he has anointed you to preach good news to set the captives free. You have a calling upon your life, but first you have to be healed yourself. And you have to put yourself in environments where you can be free. So come out on Fridays. It's not a concert per se. It's not church. It's a time where you can be free. Of course, we'll sing. Of course, it's beautiful music. Of course, it's very pleasing. And you'll be like, oh, this sounds great. Of course, you'll enjoy it because it's well done. We're professionals by the grace of God. But most of all, the Holy Spirit will be there to set you free. Come out and join us. You can go to ncfbellflower.com for all the details, ncfbellflower.com. Share this broadcast with your friends, the one person. Thank you for being here. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.